This is one of those gospels that everybody over the age of 7 in this church has heard before and no doubt knows by memory. And when we hear the story of the prodigal son, our attention tends to go to that younger son, doesn't it? How he demands his inheritance and begins division within the family. A family that said everything is God's gift that we are to receive and use. And he says, no, it's mine, and begin the division. And then he squanders that inheritance, loses everything. Is hired, but his worth is reduced to an economic calculation. Your worth is based on what you can provide for me. What a terrible spot to be in, but we all know that in our own lives too, don't we? Perhaps that's why the younger son's so attractive. We know that separation by word and by action. How even if we're living in the same house with somebody, we can still be divided. You know how painful that is. I want to use that and use the younger son's experience today to focus on the father. I want to ponder this earthly father because he really reveals our heavenly father. And with that comes good news and the invitation to trust. That good news and invitation to trust began in that younger son's life when he finally came to his senses. That's the movement of our Lord. In every human being, when we come to our senses and say, what in the world have I done? Or what has happened? That movement back to the Father, that remorse, that rehearsed speech that comes from the heart. Oh, we know that. It's the Spirit of the Lord moving in us, seeking some reconciliation, some coming together. But I bet that son wonders what he's going to encounter. Because popular culture would have said, you're dead. You're no longer a son. At best, you're like a slave. But that's not the good news. That is not who our God is. This father lives with the absence of his son. This father watches while somebody else takes possession of his property, the fruits of his labor, the profitability he works so hard for. This father watches and waits for his son, hoping that he will return. A word on each. The father lives with the absence of his son. Parents, you know that experience to some extent, don't you? From the first day your 5-year-old gets on the bus that somebody else is driving to take them to school and into the care of somebody you barely know, wow, the absence that you feel gives a hint. Or the first one that goes off to college, or perhaps the last one that leaves home. Or the one that goes off because they're deployed. Or some other life experience. How your heart burns. How your heart burns. And in the absence of his children, our God's heart, that sacred heart, burns with an intense desire to bring his children home. That's our God. As the dad watches somebody else farm his land, oh, how it must have hurt. Oh, how the sin of his younger son must have pierced his heart. Some of us know that experience. I'd say all of us do. We know the pain of letting sin of others pierce our heart. And yet, the Father waits. He's willing to endure it. He waits and he watches for his son. As Jesus told that story and got to that point of the story, jaws dropped and eyes got wide open, and people thought, "What in the world are you saying, Lord? That son is dead." The men of that generation in that time never watched for their kids to come home, never ran out to them, never embraced them. All of that was unheard of. And some live in fear that God doesn't watch or wait or run out to meet us. And the good news is he does. He does. As the Father waits for his son to come home so that he can speak words of love to him, our God waits for us to come home because the word he wants to speak is a word of love expressed in mercy. That's his judgment. We sometimes think that the younger man's journey is the journey back to the Father. The Father shows us that God's journey is to run after us and toward us. Can you imagine the Lord running after you to choose you, to embrace you? That's our God. That's this God of mercy. And he offers the younger son the freedom he needs, either to accept or reject that love. The freedom to say, no, it can't be possible, or to very humbly come back and live with it. I wonder what it was like for that son after he returned home and he saw somebody else farming the land that dad once owned because of his actions. And then a father who loved anyways, who loved still, who loved infinitely and compassionately. I wonder what it was like when the father put the ring back on his finger. Rings go on fingers in nuptial moments. When husband and wife are joined, and God blesses it so it becomes a sign of his faithful covenant. I wonder what it was like to experience that unconditional love and everlasting forgiveness. The word I have been pondering is the word restored. He was restored. And the Father's desire is to restore the relationship of all of his children. And that's you, and that's me. That's the God we're invited to trust. That's the mercy that's presented to us. With the invitation, can you trust it? Like the Father, our Lord is ready to welcome anyone who's willing to take the step toward him. More precisely, our Lord is ready when any one of us express the desire to move back toward him. Our heart only need be open a slight crack, and the Lord will say, I can get in. And once I'm in, all I bring is love. All I bring is mercy. What I desire is that my daughters and my sons are restored. Perhaps this story will drive home the point. It's a story about a widow who lived during the time of the First World War. This widow tragically had also lost her son, her only son. Terrible, terrible grief and sadness. And a grieving mom, a grieving dad always takes that sadness to sleep. It's there when they wake up, and they carry it forever. But in those early stages, it's so intense. This mom fell asleep one night and had a dream. And in a dream, an angel came to her. And the angel said, "Mom, you can have your son back, but only for 10 minutes. Which 10 minutes do you want to choose? Do you want him back as a little baby? Do you want him back as a dirty-faced little boy? Do you want him back as a schoolboy on his first day of school? Or on the last day when he was completing high school? Do you want him back as that young soldier who marched so bravely into war?" That was the angel's question. And mom pondered it in her dreams for a few moments. And she said to the angel that she would choose none of those times. But she said, "If I could have him back for 10 minutes, could I have him back when, as a little boy, in a moment of anger, he doubled his fist and he shook him at me and said, 'I hate you, I hate you, I hate you.'" Continuing to address the angel, she said, "Because I remember how in a little while his anger subsided and how he came back to me, that dirty little face stained with tears, how he put his arms around me and he said, 'Mama, I am sorry. I was so naughty. I promise never to be bad again. And I love you with all my heart.' Let me have him back then," mom sobbed to the angel, "because I never loved him more than at that moment when he changed his attitude and came back to me." That's the God waiting for you and me. Come back to him.